Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the time-wasting voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. On this Monday, how are you?
On this Monday, a change yet again. We just keep mixing it up.
Just keep it exciting. You never know what's going to come. You never know when it's going to pop up on your phone that the next GKU podcast is out. And that's what we like, to keep you guessing.
To keep you guessing, of course, which IFAB have done to goalkeepers yet again. Now, this is a classic case of, haven't we done this before? I'm sure last season we discussed the fact that it was going to be a new rule and the referees were going to stand in the middle of the pitch, stupidly with their hands up, counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But apparently, from this summer, IFAB has unanimously approved the rule that will mean goalkeepers cannot hold the ball for more than 8 seconds. If they do, they will be punished with a corner for the opposition team.
Excellent. Excellent. I can see you shaking your head. So I don't know if you're asking me a question here, if you're not happy.
Well, I mean, I am. It's a good thing that this is being clamped down on, I guess, but nothing's going to happen. Are we really going to see goalkeepers holding their hands up to count, referees holding their hands up to count down goalkeepers while this happens? And before, obviously, it was 6 seconds. Now it's even longer. So it's 8 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, look, on one hand, on one hand, you've got the, if they do actually do it and they do the countdown, then of course the crowd will join in 5, 4, 3, you know, add some real excitement to it every time a goalkeeper's got the ball in their hands, surely.
I mean, it's circus-like, isn't it? It's not the NFL. Mm. It's English football. Let's keep it as it is.
Yeah, but it's changing, Matthew. You just need to accept it. VAR's here to stay. Things like this. Although I know I've made this point far too many times. I'm going to make it again. For all of these, it still baffles me that, you know, for all these tiny little decisions, you know, there was that lovely incident. Was it at Bournemouth where VAR took 8 minutes? I'm sure you enjoyed that, by the way. But for all these things that they're doing, for these minute decisions, it's still a case of a game, the ball can be in play for 45 minutes in one game and 65 minutes in the next game. So it is crazy that they're clamping down on things like this, and yet there'll be something as big as that that they don't look at. And again, maybe that is keeping the tradition in English football to, or not just English football, football in general. But at the same time, that seems like a much bigger issue than, again, something like this, or the millimetres that someone's offside, or, I don't know, or penalties. You know, again, we spoke about that a lot. It seems like if you're going to keep doing these kind of things, maybe it is just a matter of time until it all comes in and it really is Americanized and it is to that sort of detail. I'm not sure.
Do you think we're going to see consistency with this, though? On a serious note, if we can, just for one moment, do you think we're going to see consistency with this? Because it's, I guess, supposed to stop goalkeepers doing the classic claiming an easy cross and then falling to the floor with legs spread wide and sitting there, or lying there, sorry, for, you know, the best part of 5 to 10 seconds. Well, if they do that, then the corner is going to be given. Are we going to see this? Is consistency... Yeah, is there going to be consistency?
I mean, time will tell. I mean, it'll be one that, you know what it's like. Initially, we'll see it. For the first few games, it's going to be hyper-focus on this. Referees will be doing it very much so. It's more so back end of next season. Are referees still then putting their hands up? Or do they get to the point where they're like, oh, almost just keeping a bit of a mental clock? And if it is then miles over the 8 seconds and maybe pulling them up. I mean, goalkeepers do still get pulled up from time to time. It's very, very rare now. But it felt like when this rule initially came in, whenever it was, there were a few that were pulled up for it. So I think we'll see that. Initially, it will be enforced. I guess the only other bit, if they said if it'll be on like the, I'm sure I saw somewhere, it might even be on the clock, on like the stadium clock. I guess if they start doing things like that, then it's not just a case of the referee, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three. You know, it won't just be the referee doing it in his head. It will then be something that is a little bit more official, which kind of makes more sense. But at the same time, then whose job's that? I honestly, I don't know. My guess is it'll be enforced for a period of time and then it'll probably just drift away like so many other things.
Yeah, I don't know about the clock, to be fair, but it's going to be trialled at the equally ridiculous FIFA Club World Cup, which is taking place in the US over June and July this summer. So we'll get to see that, which will be exciting, won't it?
I can hear the sarcasm in your voice.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Right, it was FA Cup fifth round action this weekend, Richard, and Man City beat Plymouth 3-1 at the Etihad. And not often does a goalkeeper outside the Premier League get top bill on this podcast. So Connor Hazard has his moment here. He made big saves at Brentford in the third round, then against Liverpool in the fourth round, six saves in this one. I think it's fair to say a solid FA Cup run for both Plymouth and Connor Hazard.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent again. I actually checked, always have a quick look at the stats again. People buy into them in different ways, but I think the XG for City on the day was five, around the sort of five mark. Obviously, the game finished 3-1 in the end, and it should have been five or six, let's be honest. I thought a couple of the saves that he made here, I mean, several saves, as you mentioned, but a couple in particular, the one first half low left. First, he had one kind of comfortable, but again, you know, one that you have to hold on to down low left, but the one full stretch where he gets fingertips, positionally excellent, so sharp to get down. He's a big guy, 6'6", 6'7". The speed at which he gets down to get fingertips to it, I thought that was a top save. And then a couple more in the second half as well, a really good point blank one where it can't come for the cross, takes up a good position on the line. You could argue it hit him, but again, that is where he's taken that moment to get himself into that perfect position, stays strong, makes a save, second save thereafter as well. And finally, to mention the save from De Bruyne, I am sure we spoke about a very similar situation, and I want to say it was Areola that made the save from Kevin De Bruyne, and this was maybe a couple of months back, and you might not even remember this.
No.
But this is obviously something that City do, where they do the short corner, ball comes back to De Bruyne, it looks for all the world that he's going to whip it into the far post, cross it, and he smashes it into that near post, and he's got a brilliant technique when he does it, and I'm sure it was Areola that made the save before, and we were talking about it in the same way, and it's so difficult for a goalkeeper because you're ready for the cross, and when they do that, it's very clever from De Bruyne because he knows that. He knows that they're thinking a cross is coming in. They're positioned ready for the cross to then try and whip it back in with pace into that near post. And he's got the ability to do it. Yeah, I think this beats most goalkeepers, but it's a brilliant save from Connor Hazard, back on himself. Tip over the bar. Very, very good.
It's an interesting case, Connor Hazard, isn't he? Because he's a goalkeeper that's come through the ranks at Celtic. So he's come from good stock there, having played in Scotland. He's now in the Championship at Plymouth, a team that are struggling in the Championship. But it's fair to say, if you look at his performances at the start of the season, there was one notable game on Sky against QPR where he was given man of the match. He then got injured. Dan Grimshaw came in. He's won his place back as the number one. He's having a very good season. Obviously, we have this discussion many, many times about goalkeepers in the Championship who deserve maybe a shot at the Premier League. You'd say, from the crop in the second tier at the moment, he's in that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as you mentioned, really interesting career to this point, where there's a lot spoke about him when he was younger. And you've kind of got those, I say, a few kind of critical years where it looked like he was going to break through at Celtic, didn't quite happen, had his loans, did very well. And again, you know, I suppose you see it with a lot of goalkeepers at top clubs where so many actually do get through and become the number one. You know, we can look at all the, well, obviously the top clubs in Scotland, your Rangers, Celtic, and then you look at the top six, say, in England, how rare is it that one actually does come through all the way? And it did really look like he would do that at Celtic. Of course, the moment when it's clear that it won't, it's then where is that next step? And it was always going to be difficult last season where Michael Cooper's got such a big CV going in there, but knowing that Michael Cooper had the injury at the time, was able to get a decent number of games last season, really established himself as a number one this season, and you can't help but feel that given that he is still a very good age for a goalkeeper, that Plymouth have got another big asset on their hands.
Moving on to Old Trafford, Manchester United 1, Fulham 1. Fulham winning the game 4-3 on penalties. Now, it looked like it might have been Andre Onana's day in this one. Twice denying Emile Smith-Rowe in normal time and then Ryan Sessegnon in extra time. However, Bernd Leno ended up being the man of the hour. He made a really good save from Chido Obi, which we had a tweet on, I believe. Yes, we did. Rafael Nilsson said the save Leno just did in the first half of extra time is amazing, in capital letters. And then he made the two penalty stops in the shootout.
Yeah, definitely need to speak about both goalkeepers here. I thought the save you mentioned from Andre Onana, certainly obviously two sort of similar, one that's back on himself, gets a full hand to, but the one that he tips around the post, really enjoyed this, very powerful. And it is the smallest of fingertips and he gets just enough on it to get it around the post. But I really enjoyed the Bernd Leno. So in fact, well, technically the first one actually, where he's really quick to the feet of the attacker and effectively puts him up, you know, makes a very good shape when he gets there, the player puts it wide. But I thought the save where he's effectively spread, but I thought what I quite liked about this, and it's a good one for young goalkeepers watching, is that he's got himself into a position where he's covering a lot of the goal doing what he's doing. He's created quite a big spread, but at the same time kept his hands kind of by the side of his body, and the speed at which he was then able to react and effectively almost swat it away. And you see a lot of goalkeepers maybe get into this position and where they've already committed, they can't really move the limbs in order to actually make a save. They've got to hope that it hits them. But it's a really good example of still keeping that posture, still keeping that balance while making the spread in order to make the quick reaction, quick tip over the bar. Thought it was an excellent save. And as you mentioned, two very solid penalty saves as well, and comes out the hero.
It was funny watching that penalty shootout. It reminded me a bit of, do you remember a few years back in the Europa League final, the United Villarreal Europa League final, when David De Gea didn't save a single penalty and then missed his, or had his penalty saved? As I was watching that shootout last night, I don't know what it is. And listen, he had a good game, but I had no faith at all in Onana saving any of those penalties. I have absolute faith in him scoring them, 100%. If he was to step up, he would have done better than De Gea did in that Europa League final. But I just felt the same as I did with De Gea in that final with Onana. I just felt like, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird thing, isn't it? You just watch certain goalkeepers, and Onana is one of them, where I think he's not going to save any of these.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there is something to it, and when you actually look at goalkeepers that do have a good penalty record and ones that don't have a particularly good penalty record, and it surprises you sometimes because the top keepers that aren't so good when it comes to penalties. Now, again, we've spoke about penalties before, but I think there's so much more to it, and that the psychological side of it maybe comes in a bit more. The body language, the histrionics, the bits that go on outside of the penalty itself, I think can all play a bit of a part. And you tend to find the goalkeepers that, I want to use the term ballsy, if I'm allowed to use that, but a little bit more ballsy in terms of how they are in that moment, that kind of alpha male, you know, they might get booked for some of the stuff that they do, but actually doing whatever they can to get into the striker's head. And then obviously the research plays a big part and really backing what it is that you're going to do. So if you're going to dive, you know, if you know that they're the type that aren't necessarily going to be watching you, they're going to be hitting a corner, like really committing to that corner early. We've seen examples of that. I know Raya got a bit of stick for his performance in the penalty shootout recently against Man United, where in effect, I felt for him a bit in that he did that. He believed he knew which corner they were going in. And you could tell that in his mind, he thought, well, if I know where they're going to go, I'm not going to get beaten where it just misses my hand, goes in the corner. I'm going to make sure I get to that corner. Now, there is an argument he went a bit too soon on all of them. But similarly, if you do believe you know where they're going, they're not the type to watch you and roll at the other side, then do fully commit and go quite big with it. But yeah, I think there is, you know, going back to your initial point, I do think there is something to it, because it's not always necessarily the best goalkeepers that have the best penalty record, but really sort of relish that situation.
Over to the Vitality, where it was Bournemouth 1, Wolves 1, and Bournemouth winning that one 5-4 on penalties. We'll get to the shootout in a moment, but before that, two top saves from Sam Johnston. So point blank headers from Lewis Sinisterra and Lewis Cook, both tipped over by Johnston. Really good saves, those. But the shootout, wow, this had all sorts, didn't it? It had the player who never looked like he was going to score in Dean House, and that was saved by Sam Johnston. You had Matt Doherty drag one wider than I think I've ever seen a penalty dragged before. You've had the one where it's come off the bar, it's hit Kepa, not gone in for once, and come out. And then you had two incredibly calm penalties from Justin Kluivert and Dango Ouattara. Yeah, this shootout had pretty much everything.
Yeah, well, the one-step run-up. I don't know if I've actually seen anything quite like that, where effectively it's quite clever. you catch the goalkeeper off guard completely because you stood there, whistle goes. They obviously fully expect you to take a few steps back and then take a regular penalty. But of course, if you're not set as a goalkeeper, just knock it in the corner. So that was actually very clever, to be fair. To mention the saves in normal time, yeah, a couple of really good saves these from Sam Johnson, really sharp. And again, a lot of this comes down to his set position. We speak about this a lot, but depending on the situation, it will affect your set position. He's a little bit more upright, allows him to get up that bit quicker. Really quick reactions to tip, both over the bar, both similar in certain ways. But yeah, very good performance on the whole from him. Obviously, his game time has been a bit limited in the league, but a nice little reminder that he is still there and still performing at a high level.
Finishing up at Selhurst Park, Crystal Palace 3, Millwall 1. And we have to talk about Liam Roberts and the red card for his challenge on Jean-Philippe Mateta. So a lot has been said about this. And personally, everyone who has seen this, of course, thinks that it was a rash challenge. Definitely a red card. Absolutely. 25 stitches, I think the lad had in his ear. Did announce on social media that he is on the mend, though, so that is great to hear. I do feel, though, the reaction has just been a little overzealous here in some quarters, notably from the Palace chairman, Steve Parish, who did say after the game, and I get why he was very emotional in that moment, but he did say in all the time he's watched football, he's not seen a challenge like it. The most reckless challenge on a football pitch he thinks he's ever seen, and that Roberts needs to have a long, hard look at himself. I think that's just slightly harsh on Roberts, to be honest. And the FA are set to consider an appeal, apparently, for an even longer ban for him. It was a terrible challenge in that moment. 5-6 minutes into the game, I don't personally think he's gone intentionally to hurt Mateta. What are your thoughts on it?
Look, it's a difficult one. I know that I'll say what I'll say, and a lot of people will disagree with it. Firstly, on the Steve Parish stuff, again, I don't know if that was necessarily... Well, I know why they've interviewed him in that moment, because they probably knew they were going to get a reaction of that type. And I get it. He's emotional. It's a star player, etc., etc. Now, the bit that I suppose we do on this podcast is we look at it often from the goalkeeper's point of view. And, you know, a lot of the time, it's not necessarily saying something's right or wrong, but it's just trying to explain the situation. Now, I think most goalkeepers listening to this will have had a situation similar where there's a 50-50 of sorts. And in that moment, once he's committed, and by the way, if you think about it logically, he's committed, through ball, took up a very advanced position, wanted to come out and help his defence, does get to the ball first and does win the ball. Now, the bit that's difficult is obviously the height of the ball. He can't really, maybe he can go and header it, maybe he can try and chest it, but of course you're getting there. All you're thinking is, I want to get to the ball first and I want to clear it from danger. That's all that's going on in his mind. He's not thinking about hurting an opponent. There's no intention there. Of course, the bit that doesn't help is the moment he gets there, he wins the ball. It is then how high he is. It is the follow through. And of course, it is dangerous. And of course, he holds his hands up. I know that he's actually made contact with Mateta and, you know, sent him a nice message apologising. See, he had no intention of it. And that's the difficult bit with this. If, let's say that, you know, I suppose the guy isn't there, he gets there first and manages to avoid people. No one really says much about this, because it would have then been deemed potentially good goalkeeping, that he's been very front-footed, cleared the danger, retreats to his goal, and the game carries on. But of course, the moment you're that high, you're a little bit out of control, you catch the opponent where he did. Yeah, it was a really, really unfortunate situation for him. And again, someone that I know personally, I know a lot of goalkeepers listen to this, know him personally, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, no intention there whatsoever. And as you say, the backlash has been quite brutal, really. So again, naturally, we will look at it from a goalkeeper's point of view. And in that situation, I can understand exactly why he's done what he's done. And at the same time, holds his hands up. Of course, it's a red card. It is dangerous. And we do wish Mateta well.
It is the EFL overview, where we are starting, believe it or not, in the Championship. And a big save from Ainsley Pears to bag a point for Valerian Ismail in his first game in charge of Blackburn. So they conceded on 90 against Norwich. Pears then saved from Borja Sainz on 93. Andy Vyman of Blackburn then equalised on 96. So a big save from Pears there. Egil Selvik did the same for Watford in their goalless draw at Stoke. So the home side very nearly snatched the win on 85 minutes. But Selvik dived left to keep out Bejan Ho's header. J. Jamie Cumming almost preserved a point for Gary Rowett and Oxford. It was 2-2 when Cumming saved a penalty from Coventry's Ellis Sims, only for Coventry to then bag a winner 3 minutes later. And Michael Cooper helped Sheffield United head into the break 1-0 up at QPR when he dived full stretch low to his left to parry a shot from Yan Min Hyuk. The Blades extended their lead after the break and ran out 2-1 victors.
Yeah, a few saves to mention there. I thought a very good save, Michael Cooper. This one tough because it's through legs. Positioning very, very good. Very explosive down to his left. And again, he sees it very late because it does go through legs, but gets a really good hand to it. Vital save, that one. Thought the Ainsley pairs, probably the saves you mentioned, arguably the best of the bunch. Really, really good save, this low left. Good parry as well. Gets good area, good leverage on the parry itself to get it out of danger. Very good save from Egil Selvik as well. Really powerful dive this. If you watch it again, sets well, explodes to his left and gets really good coverage in order to get hands to it and keep it wide.
Into League One, where we are going to talk about keepers at either end in the same game for a few of these. So Northampton v Exeter. Lee Burge with his first start in more than 3 months for the Cobblers, staying strong to repel an Angus McDonald volley in the first half. Moments later, a combination of Joe Whitworth and crossbar clawed out Dara Costello's header. It ended 1-1 there. Stockport came from behind to beat Blackpool. Harry Tyra and Corey Adai with 2 saves apiece. Tyra tipping over Isaac Olafe's dipping volley just before half time. Adai matching that stop just after half time when he diverted a close range Niall Ennis header for a corner. That was made even sweeter in the fact the home side equalised 2 minutes later. Jamal Blackman with a couple of moments in Shrewsbury's defeat to Peterborough. So he conceded direct from a corner in the first half and then saw a sidewinder go a bit sideways for the injury time clincher in a 3-1 win for Posh. Jed Steer, on the other hand, a hero in midweek in the EFL Trophy semi-final shootout with Wrexham, of course, much like Tyra, in tipping over Jordan Shipley's volley from outside the box to maintain Peterborough's lead at the time. Max Crocombe with yet another man of the match display for Burton. Will Evans, Stephen McLaughlin and Keanu Backus all kept out in the derby draw with Mansfield. Even turned into a tough tackling centre-back at one point during that game. It ended 1-1. And finally, Leighton Orient's Josh Keeley kept Charlton at bay with 8 saves at Brisbane Road. On one, he got whacked in the nethers. He actually deserves a bit more credit for that save as well, I think, because it's a looping header which has come off the bar. He's managed to regain himself and stop the rebound on the line. And then another rebound, which prompted that aforementioned whack. On another, he's made a brilliant double save from Greg Doherty and Matty Godden. And then, in injury time, he concedes twice from corners for Charlton to smash and grab it. But I ask you this, Richard, fouls or no fouls?
Yeah, both fouls for me. I mean, I don't know where to start here because there's so many names that you've mentioned there, but I think we start with Josh Keeley, and I feel really, really sorry for him because you watch both these corners, and again, this is where, and I know you're a big advocate for VAR, but I do know that if VAR was in this game, I'm pretty convinced both of them are called as fouls. The only bit I was trying to clarify, maybe on the first one, is it his own player? Is there an opposition player? Effectively, they've whipped it in on his head. There's loads of people around, but both, for me, is an opposition player that seems to have blocked the potential run for him to come and claim it. So I don't know what else he can do. And you can see just how furious he was after each goal. But yeah, for me, both fouls. And again, sort of took the gloss off what was a top performance. You mentioned a few of the saves that he made there. The one especially that come off the bar and how he's kept it out. A couple of massive scrambles in this one, which he's made key saves in. So yeah, a tough afternoon for him on what should have been a very good afternoon. Also a tough afternoon, as you mentioned, Jamal Blackman, who's done really well since stepping back in and obviously out of the game for a while, but really, to the point where it looked like Shrewsbury might recruit a goalkeeper in Jam, but very much have stuck with Jamal Blackman. He's been very, very good, but this was a tough day for him. Obviously, the kick at the end, I mean, it can happen. You're chasing the game, you're rushing a bit. The corner, and I actually feel for him on the corner a bit as well, in that ordinarily, and again, this will be the setup. I don't know what their setup is, but normally you have somebody in that front post area, whether they're on the post or whether they're just stood just in front. And that then allows you to take up a more aggressive position to come and catch the cross. He's taken up a very aggressive position. Of course, it's whipped in near post, quite low, and just goes through everybody and goes in. So I feel for him a bit in that I can't help but feel the setup wasn't quite right. Max Crocombe definitely deserves a mention. I mean, he's been fantastic this season on the whole in what's been a team that's been struggling for large parts of the season, but certainly looks like they're gathering a bit of momentum now. And it's a really fascinating battle down the bottom now at League One, with Cambridge picking up points under Neil Harris as well. It feels like it's going to go right to the wire. But yeah, if it wasn't for Max Crocombe, and again in this game showing, you know, just how good he's been, and certainly keeping Burton in with a chance of survival, but some big, big saves in this. The double save towards the end in particular, very, very good. And also just to mention Harry Tyrer and Corey Odai, two really good saves these. Both tip overs, both different though, certainly from Harry Tyrer, from distance. Really difficult ones to deal with these when they're struck, and effectively when they're struck, they're way over the bar, dipping under the bar. Your positioning needs to be spot on. I thought he dealt with the situation really well, dived back on himself, good tip over. Corey Odai, probably a little bit more similar to the Sam Johnson ones we've mentioned, where a little bit closer in, but just reactions to get a hand up and tip it over.
And finally, in League Two, where we go from Josh Keighley to Josh Kelly, and 4 wins and 5 for Bromley, with Grant Smith keeping 4 clean sheets in that run. He kept it clean at AFC Wimbledon with a huge stop on 90 minutes from Kelly's close range header. A big second win in 3 for Harrogate at home to Accrington. Standard stuff from James Belshaw as he reacted well to push Tyler Walton's header away just minutes after the home side had retaken the lead, a lead they then held onto. Jordan Wright with an eventful afternoon at Cheltenham's Waddon Road. He saved George Miller's penalty in the first half before nearly giving the game away in the second. Ethan Archer snuffed out his attempted chip but then completely fluffed an open goal, allowing Wright to scamper back and make the save. That ended 1-1. And Fleetwood v Notts County ended 2-2. Another eventful contest, the highlight being 3 saves from Jay Lynch and a penalty assist for Fleetwood's first goal of the game. This was a delightful launch, which saw Ray Graydon felled by Alex Bass. Graydon duly picked himself up and slotted home. Not quite a klaxon, but as close, I think, as you'll get to one.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's a lovely ball. Very quick thinking. Trajectory on the strike is very, very good. Puts him clean through and, of course, wins the penalty on the back of it. And a couple of saves that you mentioned there. Really good penalty save from Jordan Wright. And it's nice when you see this where you're always going to have a few moments as a goalkeeper. Certainly the amount you need to play out now. But when you have one of those moments and they don't capitalise, because really they should have put this in the goal. But credit to him that he didn't give up on it. He got himself back and was able to make the follow-up save. Really good save from Smith as well. Very quick reactions to get a hand to this one. And as you mentioned, Belshaw, another top save, low to his right, and similar to a couple of the other saves we spoke about earlier, we talk about the parry, the leverage on the parry, really strong parry on this one to get it away from danger.
Top stuff, Richard, top stuff. So no clean sheet club this week because it's not a full compliment. I reckon this could be one of the quickest between the sticks we've ever done.
I think it's up there. We've been sharp today.
We have been
really
sharp.
I mean, there's obviously been a little bit less action. There wasn't too many FA Cup games that we spoke about, but still some excellent goalkeeping to speak of.
Indeed. In fact, I'm going to extend it then just a tad, because one of our favourite goalkeepers, Loris Karius, was back in action for Schalke, his debut for Schalke against Preußen Münster. They won 1-0, 7 saves. Very good performance from him. He keeps defying the odds and coming back to do a job. And just a quick word on the FA Trophy quarterfinal between Oxford City and Woking. We've spoken a lot about penalty shootouts in this pod, so why not speak just a little bit more? The game ended 2-2. It then went to penalties. The first 2 penalties were scored, but the next seven were either saved or missed. So Will Jaskalainen of Woking saved 3. Kai McKenzie-Lyle of Oxford City saved 2. 2 were missed. Jaskalainen has then stepped up for the 5th penalty for Woking and absolutely lashed it top bins to score the winner. Yeah, incredible stuff.
Yeah, I love that. And the fact that he stepped up to get the winner, you know, almost like I'll show you boys how it's done. I don't think it gets any better for a goalkeeper in a penalty shootout. You know, if you were to talk about what would the perfect penalty shootout be, it'd either be you make the first 3 saves and you win the penalty shootout 3-0. That's like as perfect as it could be. But to actually make 3 saves and score the winning penalty. And actually, I wonder what the odds are, because I did see somewhere recently, I think like when a penalty is given, I think the success rate's mid-80s, I think, percent or something like that. So to miss 7 in a row, it's kind of, I'm trying to think what the equivalent would be, but I'm sure the odds on that have got to be like 1 in 10,000 or something.
Incredible. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Oh, wait.